I cannot wait for you to see what I'd like to present to you as one of the most unique chapters in all of Scripture. Some of it may be familiar to many of us that have been around the Word for a long time. What I'd love to picture and love knowing is that somebody that is listening today, somebody that's watching today, is going to hear some of this for the very first time and realize how you have been pursued by God and how loved you are. And how he knows your name and knows where you are and everything you're dealing with and every fear that you have. So I'd love to know that somebody has no familiarity with it whatsoever, because this is one profound and significant piece of work. We already know from 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is God-breathed. Everybody say that. All Scripture is God-breathed. So from Genesis to Revelation, and then right in the center of the Word of God, we find the Psalms. You might say the very heart of it, many of which were written by the man after God's own heart, the psalmist David, the beloved of Israel. And I want you, as we look at these passages, to know a couple of things about it before I start reading different segments of it. This particular body of work is so unique because nothing surpasses it in being one, a brief segment of Scripture with more attributes of the greatness and transcendence of our God. It talks about his omniscience. He knows everything. It talks about his omnipresence. He is everywhere. And it talks about his omnipotence. He is all powerful and can create from absolutely nothing. It talks about God being all in all, his all in allness. But what makes it so incredibly significant is that it is in the context of the most personal psalm in the entire Word of God. All of that is revealed in God's all-in-allness, in all his transcendence, to one child all by himself. One child all by yourself. There are many times when I pray we would take something of a message with corporate implications. But today, girlfriend and guy friend, I want you to take this one personally. This psalm is about you and your God and nobody else on the planet right now. I just want you to feel spoiled rotten by his complete attention all on you, as if you are the only person on planet Earth in this moment, because this is you and this is your God and nobody else but the two of you. Listen to these words. I want to read, first of all, Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. Oh, Lord. You have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. It says, you know everything about me. You know when I sit and when I rise. I want you to just think about that for a moment, because I'm just thinking in terms of some moms, and this would be true of many dads. I mean, like at one meal time, how many times do we get up and sit down? Amen? I mean, how... ketchup, salt, whatever, a drink of water, somebody needs some more tea. Just in one meal time, it's amazing to us that God knows when we got up and when we sat down. Don't you just every now and then want to go, do you have any legs? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just, do you have any legs? I also think my going out, when he said, you know my going out, you discern my going out and my lying down. I don't know if anybody else is like Keith and I, but we can depend on it every single time that if we go out to get in the car and leave, we will be back, each of us, two or three times. I never can just go to the car and go. For one thing, I do not have my keys when I get to the car. Anybody besides me? I started asking myself, did I put the water down for the dogs? Did I turn the flat iron off? Men, you'll not be able to understand this, but should I have worn a slip with this dress? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just all the questions we have, we can't even get in the car and go to work. Just too many things that we got to come in and out, word on my tongue. Anybody's brainstem their tongue? And anybody just never have a thought you don't speak? Anybody married to one of those? Anybody give birth to one of those? I have a darling, darling daughter that just, I mean, she has a gift for that. And I try never to stand any further from her than my hand will reach across her mouth. It's constantly, constantly. I get tickled because she says what the rest of us are thinking. But she just goes ahead and she blurts it out. I love when she said, Mother, get you a new Bible so it doesn't look like you study so much. Okay, that's a good word. That's good. I mean, she just speaks it. She just, everybody else thinks it. She just goes ahead and speaks it. It says that he hems us in. He hems us in. It's a word that means all the things that you think it does. It means to be protected there, to be held there, but it also means in the English synonyms, to be besieged and to be stopped. That he can hem us in, put his right hand here, his left hand here, and go, you know what, we're just going to stop right here till we deal with this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? To hem us in. The entire theme of the psalm from beginning to end is to be known. To be known. A form of the word know or knowing or knowledge is used exactly 7 times in this psalm. Now, some scholars say maybe it's an accident, but we believe in the inspiration of Scripture. And so other scholars think that it's not accidental at all, and there's nothing that that's not significant about it, that it truly is meant to be a treatment of how known we are by God in the most personal psalm we will ever find in one body of work, that we would come out of it going, my God knows me. That word known is yada in the Hebrew transliteration, Y-A-D-A, and it's a very intimate knowledge. It means to be perfectly known, significantly known, and it's a word in the Hebrew that always draws in things like, and this will become more important to us later in our lesson, but let it lock in for just a moment. It entails acknowledgement and understanding that God not only knows you, but God gets you. Have you ever thought to yourself that somebody just doesn't get you? You don't get me. I mean, we want to be gotten, don't we? Want people to get us. Sometimes, especially when you have a really big personality like this, you know, you see people continually that you think, okay, they don't really get this. They don't really get this. I just want to be gotten. Want somebody to get it. He totally gets it. He acknowledges. He understands it. I'm not saying condones everything we do and everything we think, but he totally gets it. Totally gets where it's coming from. And what we're going to do as we wrestle through some of these truths and let them become treasures and healing to our soul is this. We're going to make 7 statements together based on this psalm, because there are 7 different references to know and knowing, and we're not going to pick out every one of those, but we're going to take 7 statements home with us throughout this series, and it'll be a number of weeks long, but we're going to take 7 statements from it that I pray will become even memory work to us. That we'll have it so solidly in our head that every single time someone mentions Psalm 139, we can make these 7 statements in our mind. And I want to start it with this one. Number 1 is this: I am fully known. I am fully known. I am hoping through the course of this series that not only will become a comfortable thought to us, but will become a freeing, liberating thought to us. I am known, that Jesus came seeking you. The fact that you happened on this channel today, Jesus is seeking you out and wants you to hear his voice say, I know you. And as much as I know you and perfectly know you and all your imperfections, I love you more than any person in the universe could possibly love you. I know you. I am fully known. I've been searched out. I've been sought. Some months ago, I shared with you that Keith and I went through just a terrible, terrible heartbreak of losing both of our beloved pets. Now, I realize this is not big to everybody, but listen, don't mess with James, Betty, nor Keith and I over this, because we are dog freaks. And we had 2 little buddies. We'd had one for 16 years and one for 9 years, and they went everywhere with us. It was just the 4 of us constantly. And they died of cancer within 3 weeks of one another. And this was just, you know, just about 5 months ago, and it absolutely tore our hearts to shreds. We obviously knew that the older one we'd not have for a lot longer, but we did not know she had cancer, and we certainly didn't know our baby bird dog that was 9 years old had anything at all that would take her life in the next little while. We were heartbroken. I mean, it was just, our house was like a morgue, because when you don't have children and you're kind of like a natural nurturer, you have to find something. And for us, it's pets. And so just here, about a month and a half after I lost mine, the 16-year-old was my little shadow, but we loved them both. I got a little border collie, a little baby border collie. I got her when she was about 8 weeks old, and about a month later, Keith and I had both planned what we were going to get. He decided that he wanted to get another German Shorthair Pointer. So I need you to know the chaos at the Moore House right now. We now have a 5-month-old and a 4-month-old puppy, both just flying around. We call them the thundering herd. I mean, we just constantly, you cannot believe what life is like with two energetic puppies bounding all over the house. And let me tell you something about my star. Star is my border collie, and she is the smartest animal I've ever seen in my life. I'd always heard they were so smart, but let me tell you, I've never seen anything like this. You can teach her something one time, and she's got it. In fact, the books say don't ever teach her anything that you don't want her to know for the next 15 years, because they never unlearn anything. They learn it for keeps, so be careful what you teach them. And I found that to be true, but one of the things she does, of course, by instinct, she's a natural herder. So when we go out to the backyard and we call them in, and this has happened over and over, there's no way it's accidental. We call them, and Star comes immediately, but Jelly, our little it's Angelina, and we just call her Jelly. She's our little bird dog. She's stubborn. She wants to keep doing what she's doing. She hardly even looks up. But Star runs to the door just like we told her to, and she looks back at Jelly like, they're calling you. Then she looks back at her like, they're calling you, you idiot. You understand what I'm saying? It's just like... And finally, after just a moment, she just stares at her, and then she does the most fascinating thing. She will grab a stick and run it over to her, get her to grab onto the stick, which she knows she'll do, and she brings her in every time. It is the most fascinating thing I've ever seen. She will take something, she'll take a toy or a stick, something that she knows that dog will latch onto, and she will bring her back. Now, you need to listen to me a minute, because this is what we're doing today. Yes. See, here's what I know. I know that the God of the universe is calling your name. He's calling your name. And so all we're doing is that we're bringing you a stick and going, latch on and go with us. Go with us to know the Father who knows us perfectly. Go with us here. This is life. So maybe that you know very little about anything theological, know very little about God, have never darkened the doors of a church. Let me tell you something. Your God knows you perfectly, and He has sought you out and is seeking you that you would know Him and be set free by Him. Now here's what I find so interesting. It says in Psalm 139, you have searched me and you know me. We have been searched out by God. Now, listen, go here for a minute, because this is one of the things that I love about God. His mind is so brilliant that He can do things that we think are the antithesis of one another. Like, how can He have foreknowledge and yet He can search us out? How can He already know and yet He will search us out? Listen, in all His foreknowledge, He reserves the right to still have the wonder of the search. Not so much for what He will discover, because He already knows it, but for the sake of intimacy, that He seeks us out and searches us. He finds you interesting, intriguing, is continually seeing what He's developing in you before it even erupts into our behaviors or our speech. He already knows what's going on deep inside of us. Our God continually searches us out. Isn't there something in us that just wants to be pursued? Just wants somebody to chase after us. Something about us where youth is renewed, and just knowing that the God of the universe and all its perfection, the valiant warrior of the ages, seeks me out and searches me. Take this personally. Now, here's one of the complications about God knowing us perfectly. He also knows what we're capable of. And our first connotation of that is to always feel negative about that. That's not what I'm talking about. He will say to us over and over again, he certainly does know that. But what I mean is this, he will say to us continually, you know what, you're capable of more than this. I know what is in you. And it's one of God's goals to get us to come forth and be the person he knows we can be. We will just say over and over again, I'm too weak for this. And he goes, you know what, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, whose spirit is inside of you. You are a warrior, not a wimp. I know what you are capable of.